morning. So we notice the crosses and all are covered in the church, and the church is drawing us deeper into the sense of Lent, deeper into the sense of Jesus being obscured by the sin of the world. And so that's all kind of part of how we decorate the church, or we have the lack of decoration in the church. We really haven't had flowers in the church since Lent began, and now some more of the beauty, if you will, of the church is being obscured. And that's our journey into the desert with Jesus. So a few visual things. You know, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I like to talk about our lives being fruitful. And our lives must be fruitful. And some of the fruit that our life must bear is fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I've said over and over again, you all want these fruits, love and joy and kindness and generosity. We might not always want the fruit of patience, though, right? Because the word patience is related to the word passion. And the passion of Jesus is his suffering. To be patient means at times to struggle, even to suffer. But it's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So we have joy and patience. We have joy and suffering. And you know, these two things are not mutually exclusive. They exist together in our lives. We can be in a season of suffering and a season of joy at the same time. A season of waiting and a season of a fullness. And we need to understand that. I think from time to time, we've all had one of those days, one of those weeks, maybe one of those decades, where we say it's always something. Around the office this week, I don't know why I was particularly aware of it, but God, how many times I heard somebody say, man, it's always something. It's always something. A new roof leak. Termites have been found. Someone has a parent-teacher conference. You know, it's always something. And then it's, you know, something more serious than that. A sickness or a disease. It's a bad week for me to feel this bad. You know, whatever. It's always something. I heard somebody say, God, I have to deal with all these Williams. I said, what are you talking about, Williams? He says, my bills have grown up, you know. It's always something. It's always something. But you know, my brothers and sisters, there's a beauty. There really is a beauty in coming to accept that fact. Because when we accept the fact that it's always something, we're not expecting it to be nothing. We're expecting the trials and challenges that are a necessary part of this life. They just are. There's no escaping that. I remember a few years ago, I've shared this a number of times. Well, one of the great truths of a huge philosophical system that many people in the world adhere to, the first great truth is that the human condition is suffering. And the question is, what do we do with that condition? How do we come to embrace that with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience, which patience is, I'm here to tell you, includes the reality of suffering. But our call is to overcome, in a sense. Listen again to the second reading from today's Mass, the second reading that you heard just a moment ago. In the days when Christ Jesus was in the flesh, he offered prayer and supplication with loud cries and tears. This is Jesus. This is Jesus' ministry. Loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him because he was heard through his reverence. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And when he, now this is talking about Jesus, when he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal life, eternal salvation for those who obey him. So how is it that Jesus, who we believe is God from God, light from light, true God from true God, those descriptions, how is he made perfect? Through suffering, no less. Well, we think about the word perfect. Perfect can have another meaning. That means to be made complete, to be made whole. And Jesus had a mission, and his mission was to embrace the cross of the world and transform our suffering into salvation. And when he was made perfect, when he completed his course of suffering for the world, he became a source of salvation for all. And our suffering in Christ, now I need to say this again right now because I've heard myself say suffering 20 times and I haven't said joy nearly enough. Our lives can be joyful in spite of the reality that we are going to have patient endurance. We are going to have trials and tribulations. And the season of Lent and the cross of Christ paint this for us in very bold ways. Our suffering in Christ, in a very real way, perfects us. We are made complete through the carrying of our cross. And you have heard Jesus say to you, haven't you? Pick up your cross and follow me. And that path into life. A few years ago, I read this book, and I'm going to give you a rather lengthy quote. And I have quoted this a number of times in different venues and talks that I have given. I don't know that I've ever done it in a homily like this, but if I have, forgive me. So this is from a gentleman, Dr. M. Scott Peck, and he said this. He said, and I quote, "Life is difficult. This is a great truth, one of the greatest truths. It is a great truth because once we truly see this, we transcend it. Once we truly know that life is difficult, once we understand and accept it, then life is no longer difficult. We see the fact. Most do not fully see this truth that life is difficult. Instead, they moan more or less incessantly and noisily or subtly about the enormity of their problems, their burdens, their difficulties, as if life were generally easy, as if it was supposed to be easy. They voice their belief noisily or subtly that their difficulties represent a unique kind of affliction that should not be, and that has somehow been especially visited upon them, or their family, or their tribe, or their class, or their nation, or their race, or their species, and not upon others. I know about this moaning and groaning, because I have done my share. But life is a series of problems, often painful, often as painful as physical pain, sometimes equaling the very worst kind of pain. Indeed, it is because of this pain and the conflicts that are engendered in all of us that we call them problems. And life poses us an endless series of problems. Life is difficult. It is full of pain, but it is also full of joy." I can't explain that away. I can only tell you that we must embrace it as the cross that our Lord gives us and let that cross be transformed into the process of coming who we were created to be, coming to perfection, coming to completeness. The true story, not long ago, talking to someone about a somewhat tragic situation, a young Catholic family with several children had one of their children diagnosed with cancer. Now, they were not particularly rooted in their faith, not particularly rooted in their church. But after this terrible news, they discovered a strong support system in their parish. 6 months later, the father of the family and the breadwinner also lost his job. This sudden blow was due to the fact that his company was transferring out of New Orleans, and it was a difficult time. His wife, the mother of this child, said 6 months ago, "I would have been devastated that Fred lost his job, and we need tuition assistance to keep our kids in Catholic school. We really need it. But now, today, it's nothing." Months later, the shock of the cancer and the shock of the loss of job had worn off, and some good job possibilities opened up out of town. But by this point, their church family and their faith community had become so important to them, they didn't want to move. Their priorities in life had changed. Their lives had changed. And in more than one way, their lives had become better, clearer than they had ever been. And so you see this transition from suffering to completeness. Let's look at a snapshot of Jesus. This is the gospel today. Jesus says, "I am troubled now. Yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." End of quote. Jesus in the gospel today is suffering, but he's really anticipating his cross. He's clamoring also for the glory of the Father, and he is rooted in his purpose. You know, you were created for something. I think one of the great sufferings of the world today is people don't think their lives have a purpose. One of the greatest sufferings that young people experience today is they don't think their lives have any meaning. And it is a tremendous emptiness and suffering. But we were created for something. We were created for a relationship with God, who is love. And God loves us and has a plan for us. Now, the difficulties in life, again, they are mysterious. Again, I cannot explain them away, but they are sure, and they are surely related to sin. Not our sin necessarily, but the sin of the whole world, but our sin as well. And our relationship with God has been broken, and we are here anticipating being perfected by the grace of God. And we are being perfected by the grace of God if we but suffer with him, if we hear him say to us, "Pick up your cross and follow me." Jesus Christ has come to restore our relationship with God through his life, through his suffering, through his death, through his resurrection. And that is his purpose. He says, "I am troubled now, yet what should I say? It was for this purpose that I have come." You and I are invited today, this very day, to turn from sin, to turn from purposelessness, to turn from empty suffering or difficulty or whining and belly aching and complaining, to embrace our cross with Christ, to see ourselves being invited into a relationship with Jesus, union with him in purpose and joy and peace and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and patient endurance as well. We are called to these things, and they are not mutually exclusive, but they dwell together. They live together. In the first reading today, we hear these words. "The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel." Today at this Mass, we are going to celebrate the new covenant. The word covenant means a relationship by which a family is made. And we were created to be in relationship with God. And the covenant that we have is in the blood of Jesus shed for our sins. The word covenant means a couple of different things. But one of the things it means is to cut. Because there was always blood, a blood sacrifice in the giving of the covenant. And so we celebrate the gift of the covenant in Jesus today on that altar in a few minutes from now. In the days to come, I will make a new covenant. And in the covenant that we have with Jesus, we are invited to participate in his life. Eternal life. A life that overcomes suffering. A life that transcends it, embraces it, recognizes that if you love your life in this world, you will lose it. But if you lose your life, then you will find it. Unless the grain dies, it's nothing. But if it dies, then it yields new life. So, my brothers and sisters, I cannot explain away the fact that it's always something. I can't. It is always something. And it's always going to be always something. But our Lord Jesus calls us, invites us, welcomes us. Pick up your cross and follow me. Follow me to new life. Follow me to healing. Follow me to eternal life in Christ. Today, as we journey more deeply into the Lenten season, a season of patience, a season of fasting, a season of giving, a season of death to ourselves, even today, we celebrate the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. We celebrate the gift of eternal life and purpose that God has given us.